Lord, we bow our heads in your presence this morning. Would you please come now and open our minds to understand your word, your living word found in Genesis 11. And may we then leave here this morning encouraged and refreshed, reformed, and ready to serve you again in our generation. Amen. Great. Please be seated and good morning. Great to see everyone this morning on this beautiful day, World Cup Sunday. How boring it would have been for the people if we'd all stayed in the city of Babel or Babel, one language, no World Cup. How can you have France, Croatia with one language? It doesn't work. I'm assuming that most of us have spent a bit of time online, in the online world. I know we have. If you haven't, don't worry about it. Part of me envies you. But if you have, then we've actually met people online who are a lot like people in Genesis 11 in Babel. The activity in Genesis 11 is very much alive in our online world, and if you're not convinced that there's a connection between Genesis 11 and Facebook and Twitter, then stay with me for a minute. In Genesis 11, we meet the people of Babel or Babel. They were into something which is popular in our world today online. It's called personal branding. Personal branding. It's the modern trend of building your own image. Now, this is something that humanity has always been tempted to do, and people have been doing it for generations. It's just that nowadays, with social media, it's a lot easier. And if you're really good at it, you can scratch out a living. Now, there was a poll done last year of children between the ages of 6 and 17. And this won't surprise you, I'm sure. But they asked the kids, what would you like to do when you grow up? And you might think, well, they'll say what I said when I was growing up. Well, I want to be a train engineer or a firefighter or doctor, lawyer, teacher. Well, the kids said, the vast majority of them said, I'd like to be a YouTuber or a vlogger, putting video logs online. That's what they're exposed to. That's what they watch. That's what they're formed and shaped by. Now, I'm not suggesting that all of the online world is problematic. I really am not. Not at all. If I veer down that road, then I'm going to become what my teenagers think I am, which is kind of a cranky 53-year-old dad. So I'm going to resist that urge today. Not at all. There are great benefits to the online world. Of course, there are temptations and things we want to stay away from, but on its own, there's nothing wrong with it. It's interesting, though, how it's shaping the younger generations into career choices and what they think they'd like to do when they grow up. And in the online world, the personal brand is very important. It's very important to manage your brand if you're trying to make a career of it. Now, here's someone who has done it to the nth degree, Oprah Winfrey. She's really one of the winners in global branding. Her empire is worth about $3 billion. And here's a quote from her. Oprah said, "If I lost control of the business, I'd lose myself, or at least the ability to be myself." And she goes on to say, "Owning myself is a way to be myself." Owning myself is a way to be myself. I think she's talking about her personal brand and the need for her to control Oprah for consumption in the online world. And it certainly worked for her, so it's pretty persuasive for other people to think they might do the same. Well, in Genesis 11, we see the people of Babel wanting to do some personal branding for themselves. Now, the events of Genesis 11 take place, of course, after the story of Noah's Ark. And the events of Noah's Ark, we know that, and we heard about that last week. But after the flood, God said to Noah, "Noah, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth." And just after he said that, he said something similar. He said, "Be fruitful, increase in number, multiply on the earth, and increase upon it." So there's a clear command to people to go and to settle the world and to prosper and to multiply and to spread over the face of the earth. And in the Bible, when God says something to you twice like that, in short order, that's not a suggestion. That's actually a command to go and do that. So God's plan was to have his people go out and to populate the earth and to live according to his plan. But here's where the people of Babel got in the way. They had some good ambitions. They had a really good ambition to build a nice city, and there's nothing wrong with that. We live in a nice city that generations have built. Victoria is a great city. There's nothing wrong with building nice towers. We have nice towers, and we love architecture. We're in a very architecturally beautiful building, so we really appreciate that. But the problem is, what's behind that? Why are we building these things? What's the deeper thing that we're trying to do? Now, the people of the day, when they built towers like that, as you see in the image, that's an image of the Tower of Babel, that's actually called a ziggurat. And a ziggurat, it had a shrine to a god in the basement on the ground floor, and then they would have a staircase around the outside. You would walk up the stairs and go to the top. And the thinking was that if you built it high enough, your god would see it, would come down, walk down the stairs, come down, and would bless you. So you had to build it high because you had to reach up to the heavens. You had to reach God. Now, ironically, the gods that the people believed in at the time were so small that they needed stairs to get down to earth. So that's problematic. We know that the Lord God we follow and serve doesn't need stairs. But the reason they built that city and the tower, the reason is that they were building their own brand. That's what they were doing, and that's where they got off the rails. Listen to what the people said. Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. So that we may make a name for ourselves. They might just as well have said, come, let's build our brand. Let's build our brand, and if we build it well enough, we'll prosper, we'll succeed, and people will remember us, and we'll leave a great legacy of brand Babel. The problem is that God had already told them that they had to do something else to be successful, and in order to be successful, he called them to live under the terms of the covenant. God made a covenant with Noah and promised to honor it, and when God promises to do something, it's best to believe him because he's always faithful. But the people of Babel said, no, we think we can do a little bit better. We have our own ideas, and we'd like to build our own brand. So here's one point I'd like you to take away from Genesis 11 today. It's this. As a follower of Jesus Christ, don't build your own brand. Don't build your own brand. Instead, build yourself into a disciple. Build yourself into a disciple. Not a brand, but a disciple. Again, the whole problem with the people of Babel was not their building plans. Not at all. The building plans were great. It's great to build a city. It's great to build beautiful towers. But it was the reason behind the building. They were after self-sufficiency, independence, being self-made. And again, those are not bad things, but when you're doing it as a substitute for a relationship with a living God, that's where you get into trouble. These people were trying to do it all by themselves. Building a city is great, building a tower is great, but not if it's meant to replace the covenant God has made with you. In the story of Genesis 11, the city represents security and strength. It was to be a city that was large and well fortified, with a nice wall around it, with a thriving community, with schools, hospitals, businesses, everything that would be a magnet for people in the countryside. And we see some of this in our own country today. We see cities growing, and we see small rural communities shrinking. Maybe you come from a small town, and maybe at one point you felt the lure of the big city. I know I did. I couldn't wait to get out of my small town and leave behind what I thought was Hicksville and the Sticks and get to the city of Toronto. Wow, that was exciting. That was exciting. Now, the people of Babel did that. They were after something that they craved, which was security and strength. And I think we can understand this because if our worldview doesn't leave room for the God of the covenant, then you need to find other things that are going to give you security and strength. And if you don't have it in your relationship with God, you're going to try to find it somewhere else, and you'll start with yourself and something that you can create and make and own for yourself. So the city represents strength and security. The tower represents praise and honor. They built the tower in order to reach up to the heavens, to reach up to God, to reach Him, and to get closer to Him. Again, it's okay to reach out and try to find God, but do you really think you can do it in your own strength with your own talent? Again, there's the old human tendency to reject the covenant God makes with us in favor of something we make for ourselves. The covenant God offers in Scripture, the one He offered to Noah, is something that would last. The covenant He offered to Abraham and made with Abraham is something that would last. And we are people of the covenant too, the new covenant. The covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, this is the highest standard. And it's a covenant that we can't achieve or buy or reach. Not at all. It can only be received. And we receive that by faith, as Scripture tells us. So one of the lessons here is that, try as we might, we simply can't build a high enough tower to reach God. You can't do it. You try, but you can't do it. The good news is, you don't have to build a high tower to reach God. He actually reaches down to you. He came down among you, among us, walked on the earth, bled and died, and rose again in order to bring us under the terms and the boundary of this covenant. But in order to access this covenant and to live within it, you have to really want it. And in order to receive it, you have to turn away from building your own brand. And that's something that the people of Babel weren't willing to do. But isn't that such a human tendency to do that? And don't we see that going on today? Absolutely we do, in our own city. We see people who have turned away from their own religious heritage of the past, their own Christian heritage, and they're turning to a Jesus-free spirituality, something of their own making and of their own choosing. And again, I'm not meaning to be critical of their choices, because if you don't have a worldview that includes that covenant with the Lord God, of course you're going to try to find other things, because we all have a void that needs to be filled. We all have a spiritual need to be close to God, and if we don't know the God of the covenant, or if we've rejected Him, we'll go looking in other places. The Bible teaches that we only receive this new life. We do it by turning away from ourselves, turning away from brand me, and turning towards Christ. And we have to admit that we can't build a tower in our city. We can only turn to the cross. The cross, which is not a high tower, which is not a splendid tower rising up to the heavens. It's actually a sign that the Lord God has come down to earth to go to the cross for you and me. So a disciple of Jesus Christ does not build a brand. She makes a name for herself by building herself as a disciple. And she trusts and believes that the Lord God gives her a new name, a new identity in Christ. She follows Him. She works hard to become a better disciple. But again, she doesn't work to reach to the heavens. She receives the Lord Jesus, who reaches down to her, and she works on His behalf to serve others in His name. The people of Babel knew all about God's covenant. They knew the story from Noah. They knew about the judgment of the flood. They knew that a faithful few were saved to rebuild humanity. They knew the story of God's love and compassion. They knew about it all, but they turned away. They neglected the story. They didn't teach it to their kids and their grandkids. They lost the story. The story was diluted. Other spiritual beliefs crept in, and the people chased after something that promised them something grand, something lasting, brand me. But it turned out to be brand empty. And when God did come down to visit them in Babel, He mixed up their languages. They ended up leaving their fine city, and they ended up scattering out into the earth as God intended from the beginning. So one of the takeaway lessons from Genesis 11 is, again, to fight that urge to build your brand. Fight the urge to connect your identity with what you accomplish in life. Don't pour your energy into making a name for yourself. Don't pour your energy into leaving a legacy that will be about you. Don't do that. Pour your energy into becoming a better disciple, a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to help you do that. Walk by faith. Read Scripture. Dive into the book. Feed on this best food. And pour your energy into living within the boundaries of the new covenant. Be successful in that way. In conclusion, just notice in the larger biblical story, the whole story from Genesis to Revelation, notice that after God scattered the people of Babel and sent them out into the corners of the world, how he gathered them again. That was always his plan. You know, he said, go out into the corners of the earth. They seem to interpret that as meaning, that means we're going to be scattered. We won't be together. We won't understand each other. We'll have different customs. And the Lord said, exactly, go do it. But I'm going to gather you again under the lordship of the King Jesus, of him. And you will be gathered again. So don't worry about your different languages. Embrace your different languages. Embrace your different customs, your different skin colors, all the practices that different countries have. Embrace it. But know that you are gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in the name of King Jesus, accept the good news that instead of having to reach up to heaven, God has reached down. He has come to meet you, and he's called you to follow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look at the people of Babel and we see how they made the mistake of trying to reach you and reach you under their own strength, in their own power. Lord, help us to resist the urge to do this. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to trust in you, knowing that you have reached down to us and offered us your Son. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus kept the covenant perfectly and faithfully. And thank you, Lord, that we could never keep the covenant, but Jesus can and did. Now we trust him by faith. And you include us in this new covenant by faith in the Lord Jesus. We thank you. Amen.